It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog.
Okay, I would like to say hello, everyone, and especially a big hello and welcome to Annabelle Terry. I love you. You're so wonderful. You did our first intensive teacher training in Nicaragua. When was that?
I think that was at the very beginning of 2018. Because we left. Actually, it's the 29th today, right?
What day is it?
It's the 29th.
It's very snowy.
We left on the 29th in 2017 because I just turned 18.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And now how old are you?
I just turned 22.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What'd you do for your birthday?
I was sick all day because I just got in the booster.
Oh my gosh. It was horrible. Dang it.
But it's okay. It's kind of like every year my birthday, we don't really, I mean, that's right after Christmas. It's like all my friends are gone.
Oh.
So it's kind of like nice to just be able to kick it and
so you've been doing the pandemic birthday for a long,
for a lot longer.
A long time. So you're used to it having chill birthdays.
Yeah. So it's okay.
Dang it. Well, when was the last time I even saw you?
I mean, since I pop in and out of Boise, like I see you around the studio, but I think like the last time that I really saw you and talked with you was during COVID summer when I was working at the studio a little bit more. But, you know, since then it's like I'm home for like 5-6 days and then I'm out again. So it's always very quick.
Okay. So where are you living?
Florida still.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a semester left of college and then I'm done. And I won't be in Florida anymore, which is exciting.
You're over Florida.
Yeah, I've been over Florida probably since I moved there, but it's taught me a lot, so that's good.
I want to say one of the first things you told me when you moved to Florida to go to college, you said you were surprised by the different personalities of people you'd meet,
mm-hmm.
and that it kind of took you a minute to warm up. And get people, like maybe people didn't think you were genuine because you're so honestly nice. I couldn't remember exactly what you said, but something about how you're very surprised by the different attitudes of people.
Well, I don't know, like it's hard. I mean, in hindsight, like you obviously know so much more. So it's hard to like imagine where I was then. But I remember like getting there and feeling extremely out of the loop because I think that like even just like the East Coast in general seems to have sort of this like meshing of personalities and like Idaho is just not, I mean, we're on the other side of the country, but we're also just, Boise feels like this kind of bubble that mm-hmm. like everyone is, you know, for the most part, like very, they have like, there's a personality type here. And I never felt like my personality was out of the loop in Boise.
Yeah.
So in Florida, it's like all of these people that are either from Florida or from the East Coast. And it's like, it's just different. You know, people have different interests. They have different like levels of comfort, levels of like things that they want to talk about or want to do. And at the beginning, I just felt like so like stuck out like a sore thumb. And it was just weird. Like, I never felt like people were mean to me or anything like that. Like, I met some really amazing people freshman year. And I'm still like good friends with a lot of those people. But a lot of it was like trying to figure out if I was going to change myself to like fit into what was happening or if I was just going to like keep rolling with it and just like, you know, figure it out. And I think I went more toward the latter, which like I'm really grateful that I did. And I had a lot of people that supported that, if that makes sense.
Do you think doing a yoga teacher training in Nicaragua before going to college affected how you took on that new chapter in your life?
Yeah, I think just yoga in general and definitely the teacher training. My like freshman year in college was really rough for a lot of different reasons. But I remember, like, yoga was really what I turned to when things were coming up that I just, like, had never dealt with and didn't understand and were really hard. And I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have, like, that tool. Even though, like, now, looking back, I mean, when I first started teaching, like, I didn't really know what I was teaching, you know? Like, I didn't know what I was getting into or what it was about. And I still, like, have so much more to learn in that respect. But I had enough of a grounding in my practice to understand like how special it was and how helpful it was. And I don't think, like, I genuinely don't think I would have made it. I don't think I would still be in school or still, I don't know where my mental health would be if it weren't for yoga. Like, it really was.
Can you give me an example of a time where you're at school and you're having an issue come up and you're like, thank God I'm going to yoga? Because you were teaching yoga right away too.
Yeah. I mean, I started teaching like the weekend after we got back from Nicaragua. But I mean, a lot of it was like, so my freshman year, like a lot of people passed away in like my Boise circle, like family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because there was nobody in the state of Florida that knew like any of those people.
Yeah.
Or knew kind of what was going on. I was like, I'm better now, but I tend to kind of like close off when things are hard.
Shoot.
So I didn't really communicate to like as many, or didn't fully communicate or like lean into the support system that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, like it kind of created this world that I lived in that was separate from like what was happening, if that makes sense. I like dissociated really hard. And like all these things were happening back home, but they didn't feel real in Florida because like everybody was moving on with their lives and like doing their daily things and, you know, had no relationship to anybody or anything that was happening back home. So my asana practice was really helpful in like grounding me in my body and just like making me feel literally like I was a real person, which is so like, it's interesting to talk about it because it doesn't feel like emotional when I'm thinking about it, but it feels really emotional to talk about it because it was such like a personal relationship with myself that I really like had never had to that degree.
You're like getting me emotional now.
Yeah, and then I mean like the following semester, so that was mostly my second semester freshman year, and then the following fall semester of my sophomore year, which is like 2019, I like injured my leg for some stupid reason, which we could talk about it later. I don't know. We don't have to talk
I'm
about
sorry.
It.
What happened?
Oh my God. Well, it's just weird to like think about now.
Were you at a party and trying to do yoga? Because that's usually how I would get hurt in college.
No, I mean, I've always had like a decent range of motion, but I used to go to the gym and I hated going to the gym at school. I go now and I like it, but like I hated going at the beginning, but I was into this guy, which is so dumb, but I would go because
tell
I was like,
everything.
Oh, maybe I'll bump into him.
Uh-huh.
Which was like, looking back, I'm like, oh God. But I would go and I would just do yoga in the gym because like I would pick like a corner in the, like nobody could see me. Like there was no chance of me bumping into anybody, but I would go do yoga in the gym. And I remember like one time I was using one of those big kind of like jungle gym stretchy things in gyms. Have you ever seen those?
I don't know what you're talking
They're
about.
They're just like I don't these go to big, like,
I don't know what to do there.
They're these big like metal, they just look like a jungle gym type thing, and people use them to stretch. So I was on that and I was in like a straddle split with my ankles
on them. Like resistant bands?
No, they're like, it's full metal, so it's like,
it's like the monkey bars.
Yeah, exactly, kind of like monkey bars. It's okay. Like shaped like a doorway kind of thing, like an arch.
Interesting.
Super weird.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I haven't
anyway.
Used it since this, but I was on it and I had like, I was in a straddle split with my ankles in on the bar, so I was like,
oh my
fully
gosh.
Off the ground, and I was holding myself with one hand, and I freaking like fixed my hair and looked because I thought I saw this guy, and I let go of the bar and like pulled my muscle in my groin.
I've done that.
Oh my God. And your groin, like you use your groin all the time.
Yeah.
When you're walking, when you're sitting, like you, it's never, it's the worst thing to injure, I think, because it, you never get like, you can never rest it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it was like this huge, it was really honestly like quite debilitating for a while, and I couldn't do yoga, and I couldn't do like what I had understood yoga to be, which is like primarily an asana practice at the time.
Very physical.
And it sucked, but it also like made me change my practice and made me kind of like rework my understanding of yoga, and it like, looking back, it's such a blessing because now like I practiced yoga in so many more ways.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time it sucked, and it like, I got really depressed and really like anxious, and just was like, I was still teaching, but I was teaching like fully like off my mat, and I wasn't practicing, so it was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously everything, you know, works itself out, and now I learned a lot from that, and I learned how to like teach better for injury, how to teach like other types of yoga, and how to practice it, and it works out. So
what other types of yoga did you start to lean into after your injury when you needed to start to change it up?
Right. Well, I think a lot of yoga is, I mean, ultimately, like, yoga for me is about your relationship with life and, like, with yourself and I mean, with everything. And so it became less of, like, this thing that I went to a class, I put my mat down, and I, like, checked in and out of, and more into something that I was really, like, practicing in my thoughts and practicing in my conversations and in, like, my relationship with the earth and with, like, discomfort. And there's, like, specific styles, you know, that we can do. Like, I really love mantra now. I really love meditation and bhakti and...
What's bhakti?
Bhakti is, like, devotional yoga.
What does that mean?
So, I mean, it kind of depends on, like, your take on it. But my way of practicing it now is, like, do you know the Hanuman Chalisa?
Excuse me?
Do you know the Hanuman Chalisa?
I know Hanuman. What's Chalisa?
So, the Hanuman Chalisa is this, like... 40 verse chant, basically. Oh. And it's super, like, I don't even remember what language it's in, but it's very long. I learned it from my 300-hour. No, it's, I think it's earlier than Sanskrit. Or it's not, maybe, I don't know if early is the right word, but it's not Sanskrit. But it's this devotional song. And it's, for me, like, it's not necessarily like I'm devoting to, like, Hanuman, this, like, deity or God, but it's more the discipline and the, like, practice and kind of like this resilience that comes with learning something new. But I see that transfer into a lot of different things. Like, I love learning, so then, like, learning became my yoga. And
interesting,
just like kind of like self, I mean, I remember you posted something at, like, the beginning of the pandemic about discipline.
Oh, my lack of it.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know. You were just talking about you're talking about discipline.
Trying to do yoga at home was pretty rough.
Oh my God,
for me.
It's so rough. But now it's like, that is so rewarding.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you hate it and you fight it. But then when you do it, it just is sort of, like, magical. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. And now, like, I mean, I'm sure I've heard you talk about this too. Like, when you take classes, it's so hard to turn off that, like, teacher, or to turn off that trainer, and it sucks.
Stop.
But yeah, so I mean, when you're just practicing on your own, like, it really does kind of, I love taking classes, don't get me wrong, I love it, and you learn so much about yourself, certainly, like, observing how you do that, but also, like, you learn different techniques and different cues and different thoughts and philosophy and all that. But practicing on your own, like, you learn more about yourself and just kind of, like, have the space, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes when I'm practicing by myself, I'm like, I wish there was a teacher here who could just guide me so I can turn off me.
I know, but do you...
But then when I'm in a class with a teacher, I'm like, I wish the teacher could go away so exactly. I can just do my own thing. So then that becomes the yoga of finding what I'm meant to be learning in this moment.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me about your 300-hour. I don't think we've really talked about this.
I love my 300-hour.
Okay, so how did you decide where to go?
Honestly, I was working, like, as an intern for this company this summer, in COVID summer, actually. So I was on a computer all the time, and I was just, like, at one point I had some free time, and I was researching. They probably wouldn't like it if I said that. I was, like, using my work time to research this. But I was researching 300-hour programs because I wanted to do it that summer and then didn't because of COVID. But I just was looking at spaces, and, like, I really loved Nicaragua. So I was looking in Nicaragua and Guatemala, Costa Rica, that area. And found this one just, like, online. And the description for kind of, like, the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Really appealed to me. It was a lot about, like, philosophy and meditation and mantra, and more kind of, like, yeah, I mean, more heavy, like, on philosophy, because mm-hmm. I, like, that since that kind of evolved into what I love. And then the director of that program, her name is Liz, she's amazing. I called her. We ended up having a call, just, like, I had some questions and want to talk to her about it. And she was telling me about the space, because it's this space, like, in this nature reserve, basically. So it's there's no neighbors. There's no, like, you have to, like, hike into the property.
Wow.
It's beautiful. And I love that. I wanted to be, like, really disconnected from the world, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, just for, like, a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
So it really appealed to me. And then like there was just these weird kind of like coincidences that made me feel really comfortable with her. And one of them was like, I mean, nobody, it's really rare that I meet someone that knows what school like Nova Southeastern is. Mm-hmm. And I remember she asked like, what am I doing? Like, where do I go to school? And I told her and she was like, oh, one of my like good teachers used to teach at that school.
Oh.
So it was just this weird little like link that uh-huh. made me feel really comfortable with her. And I like looked at some of her YouTube stuff and just really liked the way that she taught. And
what's her name?
Liz Lind.
How do you spell that?
L-I-Z is her first name. And then last name, I think, is L-I-N-H-D or N-D-H.
Okay.
One of the two. But the school itself is Lakshmi Rising.
Lakshmi Rising. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Great name.
Right? But... yeah, other than like these random little things, like obviously it was very affordable for me to do and the timing worked out really well. So there were these logistical things that worked out and then just things that felt really right. And I just kind of like went for it, but it 100% paid off. It was, amazing.
What was your favorite piece in doing a 300 hour?
I think like, well, the way that they did it is they'd run 200 and 300 like simultaneously. So there's some overlap between the modules.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting. And it was cool to like take some of the 200 modules that like we didn't have in our training mm-hmm. and then also take some of them that we did and like be able to revisit it with a new understanding and a new kind of like.
Now that you've put it into practice.
Yeah. And also like kind of helping the 200 hour students, like she had a lot of times she would help us like with little things like check people's posture, like check their teaching voice or just kind of like help out. So that was a really cool element of it that I hadn't been in, of like kind of being in this weird middle, like not a trainer, but like more than just like a teaching. I'm teaching yoga students. I'm teaching like teachers.
They totally had you in a trainer.
Yeah,
mentality and mode. I think that's so awesome. Thank and I know you. That's what Megan wants to do with our future 300 hours. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you really like, I mean, for me, when I was doing that, I realized how much like I want to do that. And I worked, that's where I was working this summer, was for that same school, like doing just that. I mean, just with the 200 hours, but like really teaching modules, teaching classes and helping with Liz. And
how did that transition happen where you're taking a 300 hour and you're doing it on break from school, and then suddenly you're teaching down there? What happened? What am I missing?
Well, I mean, like before I left my 300 hours, so I think it was like the night before, I remember like I was walking with Liz down from the Yoga Pagoda to like the kitchen where we would eat. And I just told her like, oh, if you ever like need help with anything, let me know. Like, I really love you guys here. And I would love to be part of this in any way. And at the time, like, I think I offered to be like help clean or help be a nanny because she has a little daughter, Gia, who's super sweet. But I just kind of like put it out there. And then I didn't talk to her or hear from her or like reach out for her for a couple months. And in my head, I was kind of like, okay, what do I want to do this summer? I think I'm just going to go back to Costa Rica and like live there for the summer, figure it out, just kind of like a half, you know, 3 months before school, I'll just wing it. And I was planning on emailing her to just see like what her plan was. And she actually emailed me before I like ever reached out to her and just asked if I was free that summer and if I wanted to come apprentice with her. And obviously, like I said, yes, but yes. It was really like, I didn't, it's kind of like I put more effort in just like being open to it than I did in actually doing it. And then it just fell into place. It's one of those things that still feels like very weird. And honestly, I've never been one of those people that's like, oh, you just like manifest it and it'll happen. But more and more, like I'm finding that random stuff happens when you just kind of like, you stop fighting it, I guess. You stop like fighting with yourself about it.
Just start living and flowing.
Like, yeah. And it just felt very, very like easy, very flow. And I think, I mean, that like, I don't know. I think that's when it's the best.
That's how I got a job at Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm here 8 years later. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So what was it like teaching a training module?
It was really, really special. It's like definitely the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of. And like,
isn't it so fun?
Oh my gosh.
I love doing teacher trainings.
Yeah. I mean, there's like no words, but you get it.
Yeah.
And the beginning was really, was hard. I mean, I think like.
I was insecure as hell. Like my first day of teacher training, I'm like, who am I?
Because like also Liz had only, I think like for my 300 hour, I had to lead a 3 hour or a 2 hour workshop with like two of the other girls that were in the 300 hour. And that was the only time that Liz ever saw me like teach that whole time. So I show up and I'm like, this woman like hasn't ever seen me teach, like doesn't know what I know, like is just taking like a massive leap of faith. And part of that was like really flattering, but part of that was like, what if she just totally like screwed this up?
Well, you did her training, so she knows that.
I know, but I mean, I think it's one thing to like take a training and then one thing to actually be able to bring like your own.
We see a lot more than you think.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But it was, yeah, I was very like, I was nervous at the beginning. But the first training, I kind of like, I think she was kind of trying to see like how much I could take and see like what I could do. And so it was, I did a couple things. It wasn't too much, but it was still like, it was
like what?
Like I would teach a couple of the morning classes. Mm-hmm. I would teach a couple like modules. I don't even remember what I taught the first training. And then I would teach, or I would like facilitate quizzes or kind of like conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like a space holder, really. Which was really like a interesting position to be in, especially like that environment. I mean, you get it. Like, it's so emotionally charged and it's just like bringing up so much.
How does that always happen?
I think it's yoga.
Yeah.
And you're bringing like awareness and mindfulness into these spaces that maybe have never been looked at like in someone's entire life.
And with the lens of yoga and energetics and philosophy.
Yeah. And I mean, yoga, like, one of the definitions is the, you know, it's like the, I can't remember the word, but it's the like remedy for suffering, you know, and everyone's suffering in one way or another. And I think when you really start to pay attention to that, like it just gets intense. But so being that space holder at the beginning, it was so interesting because like I was suffering, like, I mean, I'm suffering now. Everyone's suffering. But at the time, like I was suffering and I couldn't be the container and also be what was in it. And that was something that I kind of like had to really learn. And I'm so grateful that I know that now, but it was rough, like taking off of figuring that out. But
I feel like I know what you're talking about because I would just get so excited to talk to everybody in teacher training. And though I'm supposed to be the facilitator, not of the container, not the contents of the container. And so people would start having these conversations and I don't want to like jump in there, but I have to create the space for everyone else.
Yeah.
I'd be so excited. And now I know to kind of like ease up and let the discussion flow how it's meant to without me jumping in.
Yeah, it's a hard one to learn.
I get so chatty, which is probably why I have a podcast.
No, it's good. It's good. But yeah, I mean, definitely by the end, like I was teaching the last training, they had something happen where Gia, the little girl's dad, Naga, had to like go, he had to leave the property. So Liz had to stay with Gia in the mornings, which is usually like when she would be doing meditation or teaching the asana. So they had me teach every morning for the training, for the last training, and teach like a lot more of the modules and just take on like a lot more responsibility. And I remember she texted me, I was with my like parents before the last training started, and she texted me and asked like if I could do it. And part of me was like, no, like I can't do that. Well, obviously, like, I'm not going to say no. So I just said, like, yeah, like, I no problem. I
always say yes and then
always
figure it
say
out.
Yes. Always say yes. And it, you know, it worked. And it taught me a lot about, like, my own capability. And I went in there like, oh, shit, I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, like, I can do this. So it feels good.
What would your students say to you after a session?
It depends. I mean, sometimes they'd be crying. Sometimes they'd be
what
like,
kind
happy.
Of sessions are you doing?
Well, if we're doing like a, you know, we're doing water element hip flow, you know, it's going to be flowing.
Yeah.
But if we're doing, you know, it's just like a lot of.
Would you do lectures, discussion?
Yeah. So, and it just depends. Like you said, like the conversation is going to flow how it's going to flow. But I think like an interesting dynamic was a lot of the women and the men were older than me. And that's something like I've always kind of run into. I started this when I was 18. Granted, when I was 18, like it was really warranted. But it's always interesting to kind of see the like resistance to somebody younger start to peel back. Because I mean, not that that's ever like coming from a place of like judgment or like no one's ever rude, but just kind of this like.
It's unexpected to hear the wisdom that you have.
It's
but you've been studying it for a while, so it's not, it shouldn't be surprising. It seems surprising because you are young.
Right. And I feel that in myself of like, I get defensive about it or I get like, I mean, it's just, it's really interesting to observe yourself, you know? But it's cool to see like that evolution of the dynamic from like the beginning to the end and just have it be like, feel much more connected in every way. So it's incredibly special.
Oh, wow. Well, what are you up to now? What are you doing these days?
These days, I mean, I'm about to graduate. So
congratulations. What's your degree in?
My degree will be a psychology major. And the minors don't really count for much, but I mean, in terms of paperwork. But I have a minor in exercise science and a minor in sociology.
Oh, cool.
So just like interesting stuff.
What do you think is next?
Right now I'm planning on going to Spain in June and having a little yoga retreat. And then I think I want to go back and work for Lakshmi Rising for a while and kind of just learn more and explore more in that way and give myself like a good chunk of time, like I'm thinking at least a year, just to really focus on yoga. Because I mean, I've been in school and I've definitely had like time and space to take trainings and do my own research. But I really want to just like have kind of like a really good chunk of time to just do whatever I want to do in that field and have the space to be like open to opportunities and not be so limited by another schedule. And then I guess in a year, like I'll check in and see if I'm feeling. I'm thinking about maybe going to grad school, but but I don't know. It's kind of those things that I need to figure out if I really want to do that or if that's in my mind, because that's kind of like what everybody does after undergrad these days. So it's interesting.
Let's talk about Spain. You want to host a yoga retreat?
Yeah. Me and a friend of mine, Taya, are hosting a retreat.
Taya, that name sounds really familiar.
Taya Howard. I've posted with her on my Instagram, so that might have
been cool. Where I see her.
She's not from here. She's from, she's been living like all over, but she's originally from California and then is living in Spain right now.
What's the theme?
We're going to do like a chakra journey. So it's 7 days.
Days.
Yeah. But cool. We're really going to go into the psychological aspects of the chakra system a lot more, which I'm super stoked about because I love psychology.
Psychology major.
Yes. So I'm really excited about it. And I love teaching like chakra classes, but there's only so much that you can fit into like a flow class. So I want to be, I'm really, really stoked to have the space to just like, go in and unpack it. And
have you picked a center yet, a place to
host
it?
So she actually has, like, her family lives there. So her grandma has a house there. So we're going to do it there. And I have a friend who's going to come cook for us. And we're kind of just, like,
tell me,
on our own.
Give me all the information so I can post about it and announce it to everyone. Everyone listening, this is going to be amazing in Spain.
Well, I'm just about to launch the website, actually, so I'll send you that when we have it. But our, like, brand name right now is called Pranic Path. And if you're listening and you don't know what, like, prana is, like, life force or vital energy. And we are basically just trying to create an environment where people can, like, unpack their shit a little bit and like look at the things, look at the patterns of the samskaras or these like mental impressions that they've had and see if they're working or not in like a really supportive and collaborative way.
That's so cool, Annabelle. That's like my jam. I was so angry last night randomly and suddenly that I'm Googling like psychology today. Why am I so angry? It says, girl, you got trauma coming up for you right now. I'm like, no, I don't. Actually, you do. crap. Yeah. So I'm using my yoga breath work and be like, why are you just randomly angry? It was such a thing. And so I like digging into using the breath and trying to understand where it comes from. And that psychology and blend of yoga, I think, is so perfect. Oh, and I do have to ask you what you overheard at yoga.
Okay, I've been thinking about this since you asked. And I have two things. Okay, one of them, I overhear a lot of queefs in yoga. It's true.
You're doing a lot of shoulder stand or what's...
I don't know. I mean, I think it just happens like with people, which is, it happens to me, you know, it happens to everybody. Uh-huh. It's when you're upside down, it just happens.
Handstands.
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, it happens at the end of class. It always kills me when the class ends and people are like ready to go. And you're like, I'm in Shavasana. I mean, Hollywood's like, this kills me at Hollywood because we don't allow time for Shavasana. It's like the class ends. Mm-hmm. Whereas like other spaces I've been to, and it's not like this everywhere, but there's like time in the class for Shavasana, mm-hmm. and then the teacher closes it. Mm-hmm. So it's not as bad in that way. But it's like I'll be in Shavasana and someone's like slapping their mat together, like throwing their block
knocking
down.
Over oh their water God, bottle. Kills me. Like they bring mat cleaner and you just hear the spray
and the wiping. Ugh.
The wiping of the thing. There's someone who leaves my classes right when I'm doing my closing statement I'm about to say namaste, and so I'm just kind of wrapping things up, and as soon as I start talking and I haven't said namaste yet, they hop up, they start rolling up their mat, and they leave the room like maybe right as I'm saying namaste. I'm like, dude, can't you just wait? Yeah. But they're so innocent. They're like, oh, that was a great class, thanks. I'm like,
I know, and
it's welcome. It's not rude.
It's not malicious or anything like that.
No, it's not.
It just kills me. But I will say, like, sometimes it does feel like a massive teaching moment for me when I'm like, I'm getting angry, I'm getting irritated. Like, have you ever, you know who Marissa Wepner is?
Of course.
Okay, love her.
Okay.
I love her. Yes. But she said on one of her like podcast episodes, I don't know who she was, I don't remember who she was talking to, but she said, like when you're meditating and the lawnmower's being like used next door, something's yes. happening. She was like, it's an opportunity to just like sit with it because mm-hmm. she said humans don't live in a sterile environment. And I try to remember that like all the time because it's so true.
She's
and, like,
not wrong.
No, but I hate it. You know?
I've totally had the lawnmower experience. In the summertime at Hollywood, there's a property across the street and they hire a lawn mowing crew that comes Wednesdays at 4 o'clock, which is when I teach. Mm. So the whole class, mm-hmm. I hear that lawn mowing sound. And one of the classes, I was like, man, that's just really getting to me. And then I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that because you guys didn't even notice it. And they're like, yeah, we didn't. It's like, you guys are great. I should practice what I preach. Because sometimes I notice it, sometimes I don't. I think we have to wrap things up right now, but I love you. I'm so grateful for you to come on my podcast. Sorry, I was late and forgot what time it was at. I feel
bad.
Thank
you for having me.
You're so welcome. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. And if you guys want to come on my podcast, let me know because I am taking guests. Okay, I never know how to say goodbye, so goodbye. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!